This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, a special edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour, the Economic Forecast, sponsored by Plant Moran. A special roundtable discussion, live from Plant Moran's downtown Chicago office. Here's WBBM's Chris Kreidel and Cisco Cotto.
And it is an absolutely beautiful day here along the river at Plant Moran's offices. Glad to be here and glad to be with you. I am Cisco Cotto on what's really going to shape up to be a pretty fun day here.
And I'm Chris Kreidel, and we are in the Plant Moran. Well, we're near the kitchen.
Yeah. And I smell something good cooking in there,
too.
So if I disappear, you know where I'm going.
Yeah, we've got a great day, too, with lots of sunshine and high near 70.
Noon Business Hour presented by the Village of Bedford Park. We'll give you the whole rundown on what's going to happen on the show. But, of course, first we want to kick things off with an update of the markets. At Bloomberg, here's Joan Doniger.
Well, Cisco, the countdown clock on Wall Street has now started till the end of the Federal Reserve policy meeting in Washington, now in less than an hour. Until then, we're seeing gains in the neighborhood of a third to four-tenths of a percent. The Dow up 79, the NASDAQ 34, the S&P 9. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is up about a quarter percent. Atkor International shares leading the way there. But behind the moves right now is the Fed meeting. When it ends, investors are certain they will see a boost in interest rates. But they'll be listening for what Fed Chair Jay Powell will have to say about future rate hikes. Some strategists are expecting a more aggressive stance from the Fed because of strong economic growth. They're starting to think the Fed may make its next move in December, and they want to see what the plan is for next year as well. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Joan. And Cisco and I are very happy to welcome back two of our guests that you hear through the year with us. Michael Palumbo is manager of the TMT Perseverance Fund and author of the book Calculated Risk. He's based here in Chicago. And Susan Schmidt is a Chicago-based portfolio manager. Welcome back to both of you.
Yes, we'll be talking about the fact that we are nearing the end of the year, getting some insight on how the economy has done so far, how it may react to some more Fed rate hikes. And also, are there any bargains out there as we get toward the end of the year? Any stocks we should be thinking about? All of that and lots more in this discussion that's going to come your way today.
Have a question related to the special economic forecast? Reach out on Twitter at WBBM News Radio or comment on the WBBM News Radio Facebook page. From Plant Moran's downtown Chicago office, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Lots to talk about here as we're just about to the final quarter of 2018. We'll get into the economy and also the markets. Michael Palumbo is joining us today, manager of the TMT Perseverance Fund. Also, Susan Schmidt is here, both of them returning guests. Susan is a Chicago-based portfolio manager.
And Michael, let's talk for a moment about risk. That is what you watch. And there are starting to be some people who are a little worried about the economy, and especially about the markets as we head toward the end of the year. What do you think?
Well, there's no doubt that markets are near all-time highs, so that would get anybody nervous. I think that the macro signs still are very positive, so we don't see anything on the horizon that would lead us to believe that a recession is possible, but it always could be, and recessions often come out of nowhere, so people are uneasy, but overall, the macro numbers have been great.
So, same question.
I think that we've got amazing resilience in the market right now, and that's one of the reasons that we've seen the market keep up with these new highs and continue to see this surge in prices. And ultimately, the market is going to have to tune in to what's happening in Washington and the international trade issues. The market hasn't really reacted to that yet. So that could be a little bit of disruption, but we're about to come up on third quarter earnings and fourth quarter forecast. I think that's going to be very positive. And as long as management teams are talking positively about their business, I think the market can hold together.
So now everyone, of course, wants to time the market, right? I mean, you want to keep riding it, and then you want to get out when it starts to go down. Obviously, we can't do that very well, but are there a few signs, and Susan, we'll start with you, and then I want to hear what Mike thinks, too. What would we be looking for that would say, like, hey, this market may have run out of steam?
Well, earnings. Let's go back to that. So markets are based on ultimately the valuation of companies, and that depends on how much money they're making and how profitable they are. So we're about to hear how that goes. And I think if the tone from management teams starts to cool off in the fourth quarter, that's when we're going to see a rollover and potential pullback in the market. If managements continue to be positive, as Mike mentioned, our backdrop economically, the big macroeconomic numbers, the leading indicators, the talk about production and inflation, all of that has been very positive. So that leads me to believe that we've got some underlying strength and we can keep going.
Mike, what do you think?
Well, I agree with Susan. I think the next quarter earnings, third quarter, is going to be crucial, and we'll get some better indication, some better color as to how things are going to go going forward. But so far, earnings have been great. We keep setting new records in earnings, and I think that the macro picture has been great. So I don't see how this is going to get market pullback unless there is something that in the cards that we haven't seen yet.
Or as it sounds like both of you touched on this, it all depends on what they say about the quarter after that and the quarter after that. You know, earnings are great, good reports, okay, that's fine, but if they say there's trouble on the horizon, then we may start to see a pullback.
This really comes down to what managements are seeing and really the fundamentals of the businesses, because the market has been incredibly resilient as we've heard different noise coming out of Washington that in many cases sound bites that could negatively impact trade or business, and yet the market has done very well because it's pushed that to the side and focused on the fundamentals. So it does become a game of quarter to quarter, listening to what managements are saying, listening to their outlook. As long as it's positive, I think that, you know, investors are taking that to heart and ignoring the noise.
At the same time, isn't what happens in the White House something of a fundamental as well? And wouldn't we expect to see some reaction more? Every once in a while, there's a huge up day and there's a huge down day.
Right. And so we do see a little bit of that knee-jerk reaction, although, as we have all noticed, this administration communicates a little differently than prior administrations. And so we have seen a lot of posturing. We've had a lot of bold statements that have come out that haven't come to fruition. And so the market, I think, in the last 2 years is learning how to adjust to that and toning it out. It's very hard for the market to perfect valuation when they're dealing with such uncertainty, and I think they've chosen to just ignore it.
And it's not totally being ignored. There, as you say, there's been some volatility based on some of this news, but the reality is the macro numbers are good, and the forward-looking things like consumer sentiment, you know, the unemployment rate, those numbers are great. So until we see the effect of a possible trade war, which I don't think personally there is going to be a big effect, then there's no reason to take this market lower.
What kind of calculated risk would you take right now?
As I always say when I'm on this show, and I don't want to keep repeating it, but it's important to stay diversified because you don't know when the next recession is. You have to have some money in bonds, and obviously take some risk too. There are some names I like. I like Eli Calloway. It's just a great golf name. And the Tiger Woods effect is real. I think that's a good name to be in if you want to take some risk. And then you also want to be in bonds just to have some safety.
So, you know, you call it calculated risk, and a lot of folks say it that way. We want it to be fun, don't we? I mean, we want to make sure that we're not going to lose our shirts.
If we win.
Well, that's exactly.
Winning
that's
is great.
That's exactly right. There is this point where you say, well, I want to be able to have some money. I can kind of dabble around and of course, see what I can make of it.
Well, you always want to keep some cash on the sidelines, and this is definitely a time for that, too, because if there is a pullback, you want to have some bullets. So that is important. Winning is great, but the stock market is pretty close to a zero-sum game, so you know you can't win all the time. No one does, not even Warren Buffett. So you have to keep that in mind, stay positive, and stay diversified.
And Susan, diversification, obviously significant?
Obviously important, because you want to be spread out, and that's how you diversify your risk, so you're not hit. If you're damaged in one area, you're probably getting a boost in another, and it balances out. And balance is the key. And I think in this market, you know, you do want to have fun. You do want to think about things. Long term is where you can win. You know, having the fortitude and the courage to step in when the market's moving away from something that you think is really good, that's a contrarian bet. And as long as you're prepared to play that and look at it over a multi-year time frame, whatever happens, you'll be able to ride it out.
We'll have more with Susan Schmidt and Michael Palumbo on this special edition of the Noon Business Hour as we broadcast from the downtown offices of Plante Moran.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The Economic Forecast, sponsored by Plant Moran. Back to a roundtable discussion live from the downtown Chicago office of Plant Moran as this special edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Federal Reserve is set to raise interest rates for a third time this year, possibly modify the likely direction of rates in the months ahead. Today is the day that we'll find out. The big question is whether the strong U.S. economy, which has been fueled by tax cuts and increased government spending, could weaken next year, and especially if the president's trade fights begin to inflict damage and benefits of tax cuts start to fade. And if the Fed finds that prospect likely, it might signal what it expects to slow the rate increases for next year. We could have one or two by the end of the year. Susan, what do you think?
Well, the expectations are that the Fed will raise interest rates another 25 bips today. That's a quarter of a percent, 25 basis points. And I think that what the Fed will do is they're going to come out with an announcement after their meeting. And in that announcement, I think they're going to be very tempered, because the Fed has been very careful in previous meetings and in the minutes of the meetings to mention the potential danger of trade and conflict within business, which can offset some of the good things that are coming from the momentum in the economy and the benefits of tax reform. So I think the market today expects an increase, but also expects some very tempered language. The Fed is going to play this pretty close to the vest and not show its hand. They're going to try, I think, today to be as neutral as possible on the possibility of raising or keeping rates flat going forward. And that's because, remember, the market already expects there to be an additional raise coming soon before year end.
Michael, what are you expecting?
Well, there's no doubt there's going to be a raise today. The market knows it, so we're going to see that. The key, and as Susan has pointed out, the key is basically what they're going to say going forward. Is Powell going to be aggressive? Is he going to take a step back? As we've said, all the macro numbers have been good. I think one number that he does have to pay attention to, though, is real wage growth, and that has not been that great. It's been very flat. So even though we look at unemployment rates at 3.8%, the bigger number is the fact that real wages are not growing. So why, if we're at full employment? Yeah, exactly. So I think that is automation. I think that's a big key thing. So people are staying employed, but they don't have the leverage that they normally would have in a full employment environment. And so that is keeping a lid on real wages. So the Fed has to be very careful going forward. I think we have one more raise at the end of the year, and then maybe one or two next year. That's what they're talking about. I do think that that could be too much, and I think Chairman Powell needs to consider the fact that real wages are the real story, and they're not going up.
So,
and
if it
is too much, what usually happens?
Well, that would cause a recession, and so that's the big thing. And every time that we've had an aggressive Fed that has raised rates too quickly, we get a recession. So I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but I think that Chairman Powell has to be very careful in this rate-raising cycle that he doesn't go too far.
Susan, for investors in an environment where interest rates are going up, how do you advise people?
Well, stocks can do very well in an environment where interest rates are going up. If interest rates are going up gradually, it means that the Fed is seeing positive signs in the economy, and it's raising interest rates commensurately with that. The danger is when the Fed gets ahead of itself or worries about the economy overheating and inadvertently slows it down by raising rates too aggressively. This can be a great environment for businesses and for stocks, because as long as management can pace that increase in their costs, because remember, as interest rates go up, their debt becomes more expensive for them. As long as they can pace that increase, then they can do very well and continue to manage their businesses with the same operating profit or better as they increase efficiency, and that can mean that stock values go up.
Now, is the Fed in a position where it has to continue to raise rates just so it has the tools in the toolbox if there is another slowdown? Because if rates are already, as they've been, at historic lows, what does the Fed do?
Right. When rates were at zero, there was nowhere for the Fed to go. So there was no action that they could take to stimulate the economy. And with rates now coming back up, the Fed has a little bit of a lever. Remember that rates are still really low compared to our historical basis. So seeing things right now, the 10-year is just over 3%. That's in the past several years been a very high level for the 10-year. You know, we can think back to when the 10-year was at double-digit rates. So it's a huge difference. The Fed doesn't have a lot of room to maneuver. They do need some buffer space, and I think the recent rate increases and today's expected increase will give them that buffer space where they can help things out. I also think that's why they're very tempered in their approach, because they recognize they don't have a lot of tools to work with.
What about bank stocks, Mike, given the interest rates? You know, they're probably not going to be going down anytime soon. They're headed up.
Right. As rates rise, that should be good for banks. And you've seen banks hit all-time highs. So they like a yield curve that gives them the ability to lend at higher rates. And so if we do continue to raise rates, then you'll see bank stocks do well. Like I said, Chairman Powell does have to be very careful here. I think the past rate rises have been warranted, and I think this one is. I think as we get into 2019, we have to be very careful.
Thanks so much. We have much more coming with Susan Schmidt and Michael Palumbo as we broadcast today's Noon Business Hour from the Chicago offices of Plante Moran. Right now, let's see how we're doing on Wall Street. WBBM News Time, 12:25. This report from Bloomberg is sponsored by Baird, and here's Joan Doniger.
Cisco, Wall Street isn't quite marking time till the end of the Federal Reserve meeting in Washington, but investors are pushing the stock averages modestly higher. The Dow up 63, the Nasdaq 35, the S&P 9. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg up 0.25%. Atcor International shares in the lead there. Of course, when the Fed meeting ends, investors are positive. They will see interest rates go up. They are waiting to hear what the Fed says about that to gauge the timing of future rate hikes. A strong economy is pointing to December as a possibility, so they'll be listening to Fed Chair Jay Powell to assess the matter. Shares of Papa John's are jumping 10% now on word from CNBC that company founder John Schnatter is talking to private equity firms to buy the company back. Let's check in now with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities and Normal. Kurt?
Well, good afternoon, Joan. Grain activity starting to square away position ahead of Friday's quarterly grain stocks report and month end. We did see a sale of 650,000 tons of beans going to Mexico. Thursday morning's weekly export sales report is expected to show another good round of sales. Corn futures are a half to three quarters of a cent lower, beans 3 to 3 1/4 higher, and the wheat market 2 cents lower. This is Kurt Kimmel, Bates Commodities in Normal.
With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Joan Doniger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The Economic Forecast, sponsored by Plante Moran. Back to a roundtable discussion live from the downtown Chicago office of Plante Moran as this special edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time. It is 12:31. Great to be with you. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are gaining ground. We'll see what's lifting markets today and take a look at what could lie ahead.
Personal Finance Wednesday, advice for the individual investor as we move into the final quarter of the year.
Testimony at the Jason Van Dyke murder trial includes a man who called 911 to report that Laquan McDonald might be trying to steal cars.
Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh is denying new allegations of sexual misconduct, saying that they're from, quote, the Twilight Zone.
On Wall Street this afternoon, the Dow is up 61, NASDAQ is up 30, and the S&P is up 8 points.
Nice day ahead with sunshine, temperatures in the 60s.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. We are joined today at the downtown offices of Plante Moran by Michael Palumbo, manager of the TMT Perseverance Fund, author of the book Calculated Risk, and Susan Schmidt, a Chicago-based portfolio manager, both of them regular guests to our show. Susan, let's start with you. So what do you make? We got a little bit of movement on Wall Street today, but nothing much.
Nothing much, and that's not atypical for a day when you're expecting a Fed announcement. So the market's holding pat. They want to make sure that even though that they are guessing that it's a 95% probability, even 99%, that the Fed raises rates this afternoon, they're kind of standing pat, waiting to see what happens, and waiting to see, most importantly, what comes out in the language around that announcement. And so right now, I think the other issue is we don't have a lot of big events coming up in the near term on the calendar. We have a couple of things, but the most important thing we have is we're coming into quarter end, that's September 30th, and by October 10th, we're going to start hearing from big companies, and banks lead the way on that, talking about what they're seeing. They're a great indicator into the economy. So,
Mike, what do you make of what's going on today? And specifically, when we're talking about rate hikes, do you see that already baked into the market? There's just an expectation that it's going to happen.
It's 100% baked in. So this day today is very normal just because there is no news. The news is going to come out not at 1 o'clock or 1:15 when the Fed announces the rate hike. The news is going to come out at 1:30 to 2 when the Fed starts talking about why. And that's what's going to drive markets for the next few days as people digest this and decide where we're going from here. Like I said, the language is going to be very important. Susan touched on it as well. And so we'll have to see what Chairman Powell has to say.
Let's talk about buying stocks or buying industries. I'm not asking you to tell us what's in your portfolio, personal portfolio, but what would you advise someone who says, I want to get into the stock market. I'm understanding a little bit of it. But what do you tell them?
The first thing I say is that you have a big disadvantage over almost everybody else that's a market participant. And that is because there are professionals like myself, like Susan, that do this for a living. So when you're trading stocks on your own, you have to realize what your limitations are. So I start by saying that. It's a little bit of cold water in the person's face, but it's something that's important to say, especially I get friends asking me these things all the time. So you don't want to lie to a friend. You don't want to lie to anybody. But anyway, so the first thing is to realize where you are in the grand scheme of things, and you have a disadvantage. Then what do you do? Well, there's ETFs. There's ways to buy total sectors. If you like sectors as opposed to individual stocks, they're way less risky. And then you get the entire sector move. So if you make a good call, like say in the airlines, which is a sector I like right now, you can buy the entire airline sector, and that way you kind of catch the entire move of the overall sector, as opposed to you buy American Airlines and they happen to be the one that has a bad quarter, you know. So it takes some of the luck out of it.
And I think there are a couple different levels to look at this at. So if you just want market exposure, the safest way to do that is be completely diversified and buy something that simulates one of the indices, so the S&P, the Russell 1000. If you want a thematic play, you feel really comfortable about certain industries and you want to load into those or have more exposure one versus the other, then you can use those ETFs to really target yourself towards an industry. And then the most detailed way is to go with those individual stock picks. I always encourage people, we talked earlier, Cisco, about fun money and what do you do when you want to have a little bit to play with, so to speak. So in that case, if you have an idea around a company, you see a product that you really like, you have a theme that you think is great, do the research. You can get it online, read about the company, read its public filings, and then go ahead and that's a company that if you feel strongly about it, this is a stock picker's market. So it's going to be individual companies that really win here. And if you feel like you have something specific about a company that you like, that's when you take a bet and you say, all right, recognizing that's your highest risk approach when you narrow it down to one name.
Are there some stocks that have been overlooked recently that should deserve attention, either stocks or areas of stocks?
I love trolling in the small cap space because I think smaller companies that are publicly traded don't get the attention of those that are in the S&P 500. So they don't have as much focus on them. It's more likely that the market has missed something there, and it's more likely to have opportunity. So if you're looking for a way to go, don't go for Exxon. Try something really small that's $500 million in market cap. That's where people aren't paying attention.
Still to come on this special broadcast of the Noon Business Hour from the Chicago offices of Plante Moran, it's Personal Finance Wednesday. How to get defensive in case of a downturn. Personal Finance Wednesday on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Geiger Wealth.
We're taking your questions on today's special edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour. Tweet your comments at WBBM News Radio or write them on the WBBM News Radio Facebook page. Back to the downtown Chicago office of Plante Moran on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
It is Personal Finance Wednesday on this special edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour, live from the Chicago offices of Plante Moran. Let's talk about strategies for the individual investor. And we are talking with Michael Palumbo, manager at the TMT Perseverance Fund, author of the book Calculated Risk, and Susan Schmidt, Chicago-based portfolio manager. Let's talk about how we are going to pick something and go with it.
Well, I think if you're talking about getting defensive in this time, we said that you want to have a portfolio that is diversified. So you're already somewhat defensive. If you're diversified, you're defensive by nature. Now, what happens is that to get more defensive, you just go into those higher income stocks, into the bonds, and get away from growth stocks like Amazon and the ones that have actually done very well. So you're giving up a lot of possible upside on these names that have done really well in the NASDAQ, but if you do think things are going to slow down, those are going to be the exact stocks that are going to get hit. So you want to move away from those and into bonds and income stocks.
Do you think that Amazon is going to be slowing down?
No.
That's a quick answer,
but yeah.
Everyone seems to have the same bet.
Which, you know, that would be scary in a way. As a trader, you'd want to go against the stream as much as possible, but when the stream is a avalanche of great reports and great management leadership from Jeff Bezos, that's not a stream anymore. That's just an irresistible force. So I think Amazon is going to be doing fine for a long time. They've developed such a big moat around their business.
They're helping define the future.
They are, and they're doing it in many segments. You look at some companies that are the leaders. You look at Apple. They specialize in a specific area, but with Amazon, they basically go wherever they want to go, and they destroy everything in its path. I hate using the word destroy because they're actually creating value, but they are destroying companies in the middle of it, and that's just part of life.
Susan, let's talk about dividend stocks. If you're trying to be defensive, is there a role of those income stocks in protecting things if there's a downturn?
There are income stocks that can protect you. Typically, we see REITs and utilities being a good safety play because those are very much dividend stocks. Dividend stocks are a little tough in a rising rate environment. When you have interest rates going up, then the dividend that you're getting becomes less, depending on if it's 2% and I can get 2% in the bank, I'd rather have the 2% in the bank and not take the risk in the underlying stock. So those become a little bit trickier. When the market keeps going up, those sectors become out of favor. It flips immediately when people think the economy is falling apart, and then there's a flood into those stocks. So you're giving up a little bit in this environment to have those names in your portfolio and that type of industry represented in your portfolio. But it does work for you when you think things are imminently about to fall.
Now, this is actually some breaking news. CNBC is reporting tomorrow we're going to get the text of the U.S.-Mexico trade deal. There's nothing to announce with Canada yet, but we'll see what the U.S. and Mexico have worked out. Mike, obviously we don't know the details yet. Is there a way that all this back and forth could end up being a positive for U.S. companies, which would then be positive for investors?
If this is just a beginning of a negotiation that ends up with a great trade deal for both sides, then this is going to be a huge positive. The question is that what is going on right now? Is President Trump in the middle of a negotiation phase that's going to end up with some great trade deals with many, many countries like he says he is? Or is this really the start of a trade war? And that's what the market's trying to digest. And no one really knows, let's face it. We're going to see it play out. And my faith is that the president ultimately knows that trade wars don't work and that this is just negotiation.
We'll have more with Michael Palumbo and Susan Schmidt on this special edition of the Noon Business Hour as we're broadcasting this afternoon from the Chicago offices of Plante Moran.
We're taking your questions on today's special edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour. Tweet your comments at WBBM News Radio or write them on the WBBM News Radio Facebook page. Back to the downtown Chicago office of Plante Moran on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
We're back with our panel of two here on the Noon Business Hour in Susan Schmidt, Michael Palumbo, and Cisco, of course. Just about up toward the final minutes in our hour. What are some of the thoughts that you have right now about the markets, about the population?
I think there's a lot of opportunity still in the stock market because I think we're seeing a lot of new industries that are disruptive. They're changing the way things are done. You're seeing small businesses really introduce new methods of doing business, new technologies. And when you look at the millennials, which is a big class of people, they are going to be bigger in number than the baby boomers. They shop and they interact very differently than previous generations. So it's all because of the advent of new technologies. I think that's very interesting to watch, and I think you can find investment ideas because of that in looking at those trends. On a bigger picture, near term, we have midterm elections coming up. That's going to cause some volatility for the market. It usually does. Remember that that's coming, and you need to ride it out. So we really need to think about investing in this particular environment. Longer term becomes even more important because we're looking to ride through a lot of the noise coming out of Washington and potential upsets from the elections coming up.
So we're talking about safety, too.
Yeah, safety, and just be aware because it's, you know, we see waters generally always smooth out. We see some knee-jerk reactions in the market, and then things come back and we get back to business as usual. We've got good earnings. We've had good announcements from company management teams. I expect that to continue. So everything will smooth out over time, but be prepared for some knee-jerk reactions along the way. We're in a tough period for headlines.
No. What are some of your thoughts, Michael?
Well, I think that, again, the third quarter earnings are going to tell the story going forward and be the catalyst to the next market move. But also, you know, staying diversified, as we've said, is important. And you know that the elections are coming up. Anything can happen there. But we've seen before that elections don't generally drive the markets at long term. It's a short term knee-jerk reaction, and then we move on. So right now we're in a slow period. We're waiting for earnings to come out. We don't have a lot of macro numbers. We're waiting on the Fed, but we know what the Fed's going to do. So the next few weeks, I think, are going to be kind of slow, and then we get into third quarter earnings, and we'll kick up some volatility again.
Now, Mike, we only, unfortunately, have about 60 seconds here, but I want to hear from you because we've been talking about this off-air, this roller coaster craziness with pot stocks. It's been totally unbelievable. What do you make of this?
Well, let me preface it by saying that I do own a portion of an Illinois-based medical marijuana company, and so I want the audience to know that, but it also means that I'm very well aware of what's going on in the industry. And if you look at the public companies, a lot of them are bid up pretty high, so, and they're also incredibly volatile. We've been talking about the movements in Tilray. I mean, you better have some good medication to be able to trade that stock. In one day alone, last week, I think it went from 150 to 300 back to 150 in like 24 hours. So, you know, be careful in this segment. If you want to have a piece of it, just make sure it's just a small portion of your portfolio and realize that the risk involved is a complete loss of capital. I mean, some of these stocks are going to go to zero, and some are going to be huge winners. I think one or two are going to come out and be the leaders in an industry that's growing. But which ones? Well, if you can pick it right, go for it. But just realize you're taking a chance of losing everything.
Yeah, remember the dot-com bust. Don't forget that lesson.
Right.
Some companies do go out of business, for sure. We always appreciate having both of you on the show. Michael Palumbo, manager of the TMT Perseverance Fund. Susan Schmidt, a now Chicago-based portfolio manager. Great insight. We'll have you both back again soon.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming.
And Bloomberg, we'll check the markets next. WBBM News Time, 12:55, wrapping up the noon business hour with a check of Wall Street at Bloomberg. Here's Joan Doniger.
Cisco less than 5 minutes away from the Fed decision. Wall Street rolling back some modest gains. The Dow is up 52, the NASDAQ 25, the S&P 7, the Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg up 0.25%. Hyatt Hotels in the lead. Investors are counting on an interest rate hike to be announced by the Fed at the top of the hour. They're waiting to hear from Fed Chair Jay Powell about the thinking of the timing of future hikes that really could drive the reaction. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg newsroom, Joan Donovan. News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago. WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.